You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Good Morning Lambeau. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_access. Joined alongside Jacob in Wisconsin. We got Tim live in Green Bay. Everyone trying to get woke up on this wonderful Sunday morning. I love it. Look, Tim down there leaning on the coffee, right?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Man. The voice is rough today, so I told Jacob, I said, man, I'm going to lean on you guys this morning. My voice is about gone.
Jacob looked me and Jacob were like, you sure about that?
Jacob looked down at Tim and said, I don't think that's going to happen. Like, you're not leaning on Tim much today. So if it's a 30-minute episode, awesome. If not, then we'll just sit in here and blabber like we normally do. So with that being said, guys, I believe it is St. Paddy's Day, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, top of the morning to you.
Me being a Scottish Irish, according to the DNA there, I don't even know if I did that right, but you think I would know the exact date of St. Paddy's Day? But I'll tell you, I went to St. Louis, Missouri one time. Me and Mandy were there on business, and woke up. I don't know, it was about 8 a.m. I guess, and obviously it was St. Patrick's Day. I didn't realize it at the time until I woke up and was like, "What is that noise?" Bro, I looked down the window. We're about, I don't know, about 8 stories up, I guess, in this hotel in downtown St. Louis. Bro, they were full on 9 o'clock in the morning, St. Paddy's parade, everybody drinking. You could hear Dropkick Murphys blasting through the streets. I'm going, look at St. Louis after my heart here, man. You kidding me? Pretty cool place. Pretty cool place to visit. You ever been to the Lou, Jacob?
Yeah, once. I don't remember it. We were passing through.
Great.
Yeah, we got pretty shammered.
I love it. So anyway, with that being said, we thought for St. Patrick's Day, since everybody kind of hanging out in here this morning, got a quick video for you. We're going to go into the vault here a touch, and let's go back to one of our favorite St. Patrick's Day moments. Not really St. Patrick's Day, but leprechauns, the whole nine yards. Pretty cool. Let's check it out.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Creighton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Creighton community, many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in a tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say, yeah? Yeah!
Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff and it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're going to get down to the bottom of this. Yeah, still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wars off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute which has been passed.
Well, listen, I got to tell you, anybody who's ever worked construction knows that's basically an adapter for scaffolding is what that is.
I thought it was a bomb.
Just wanted to throw that out there, okay?
Down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather who was Irish. I just came to help out.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
People will do anything for a pot of gold. I mean, anything.
Bro, Brian Johnson bringing in the hits there, boys. What do you think?
Check your grill, Brian. The gold's right there, bro.
Exactly.
Right there, man.
You got the gold, man. Man, I'll tell you, I don't know how old that video is, but it feels
old
like
for a 20 years to show up.
It's gotta be like 20 years old. I remember.
It's gotta be, man.
That back in the day. My favorite was the old lady. She's like, it could be a crackhead.
Yeah. You know, it's a valid point, right?
Like, that's the most logical. Yeah. Right.
Oh man. Anyways, let's get to some Packer talk. Obviously, hope everybody has an awesome St. Patrick's Day. I don't know when people normally schedule their festivities or how that works, but yeah, you guys be safe out there for sure. So we did a mock draft yesterday using the 33rd team horizontal board, right? And this is the mock draft we came up with. Let me get that comment off of there real quick. So, you know, immediately I know I was like, man, this looks different. Would you guys agree, other than like the top four, well, the top three picks, this looks as a little more different than any other mock we've ever done. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
We found ourselves going, let's trust the board, right? The whole time. You got to trust the board. The whole idea there was to kind of put us in a general manager's shoes. Like, okay, these are the decisions they're faced with. You know, make no two bones about it. They know what the media is saying. They know what the mock draft database has listed, right? Because that's they take everybody in the sports media, throw them into a big pot. They put their information in. So they're eyeballing that too. And most of the time, these organizations, they'll lean on the media members to try to get a hint on who's taking who, right? Now, there's a lot of smoke screening. It's lion season, as Michael Lombardi says. But I think for the most part, GMs are taking a peek at what is kind of the consensus, but we're going to stick to our board. So it makes the decision tough. I don't know if you felt like that, Jacob. There were several times, man, I was making a pick and I was like, this just doesn't feel right. But that's how the 33rd team's board hit, right?
Yeah. Multiple different picks where I was like, this does not feel like what I would want to do. And then I did dive into a few of the other guys, which we can get into a little bit later, but yeah, especially like the Trevon Wallace one. There's a lot of fluctuation amongst the different websites. Same with Josh Newton. Yeah, a lot of those guys.
Absolutely. Ken, did you feel like that? Did you feel uncomfortable the whole time?
Yeah, pretty much. Made me kind of look back at my mock draft and kind of scratch my head a little bit. But, right. You know, this was actually nice. I mean, like you said, other than the first three, which, you know, that's a lot of our mocks have kind of fallen that way, you know, over the last few weeks. But, you know, a couple D linemen, you know, or D tackle and a D lineman in this draft, you know, this is unique compared to some of our other mocks. But yeah, that's the whole point of putting the big board together, right? I mean, you got to have a reference point. And I can only imagine what Goody's going through in the war room on draft day. So,
yeah, absolutely. Peter Stone asked in the chat, when was the last time the 33rd team updated their site? I know they have added a ton of prospects. So to me, it seemed like the last update was right before we went into the combine. I don't know if they're going to shift their board for any combine adjustments, to be honest with you. They may keep it the same. We'll find out. But yeah, this is the most up-to-date version, right? And again, it's not like, well, maybe in due time, they'll drop this player way down or this player way up. They've watched the tape. That's what they do, right? And they're going, these are the players and how we rank them. Now, some people were going, who is they, Clayton? On the 33rd team, here's some of the people that help with the website, okay? They've got, it looks like, 10 coaches, 10 former coaches that are on staff, okay? Chuck Pagano, former NFL head coach. Jay Gruden, former NFL head coach. Marvin Lewis, Super Bowl champion. Bill Parcells, Hall of Fame coach. Wade Phillips, Super Bowl champion. Eric Mangini, Super Bowl champion. Greg Roman, former NFL offensive coordinator. Mike Wanstad, Super Bowl champion coach. Leslie Frazier, former NFL head coach. And then Mike Martz, Super Bowl champion head coach. So you've got guys that were assistants. Give it up for the boys there. Thank you, thank you. You've got some of these guys in here that were on Super Bowl teams as assistants, and then you've got, you know, at least one, two actually, yeah, two that were Super Bowl head coaches. So now, okay, they're coaches. What else, you know, what could they possibly bring to the table as far as like a draft stuff, right? They've also got front office members on there. Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL executive. He used to be the GM of the Jets. Joe Banner, former NFL executive. Bill Polian, Hall of Fame team executive. Rick Spielman, award-winning NFL executive. And then Jeff Diamond, award-winning NFL executive. So they've got five former NFL executives on staff too, not to mention players, not to mention other contributors that have been in and around the game, right, that have covered the game. One of their contributors is Greg Cosell. You guys know that's my hero there when it comes to breaking down the tape. So I say that because people will look at that and go, oh, well, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And I think we would all agree, right? Every spring, Jacob, we're watching the draft and we go, who? And we go looking through our notes trying to find a guy, right?
Yep.
It just so happens a few of them have surfaced on the 33rd team's board early. And I'm eager to see and hear a little bit more about them. Jacob, why don't you kind of take it away? I know you did a little bit of notes on them, right? You took some notes I guess some of these lower guys. I know Hunter Norzab was one, Travis Glover, Jalen Carlisle. Who was it? Was it you that said you like Jalen Carlisle?
Jacob? That's Emilio's guy. That's one of his guys.
Gotcha. And then Vidal. Of course, we've heard that number. What I'm going to do here in a second is follow up with a listener, a question they had about this. But go ahead, Jacob. Tell us what you learned about some of these guys.
Yeah, let's start with the first guy just because it was actually a question from Blake B. He was asking if his name's Makai Wingo. He's a D-tackle from LSU. He's asking if he's more of a three or a five tech. He's definitely more of a three tech. He spent predominantly most of his snaps in the three tech, especially this last year. He's 6'1", 295. His PFF grades for the last 3 years were, starting with this past year, 77.6, 78.5, 73.1, super steady Eddie. NFL Draft Buzz has him as their fifth-ranked overall defensive tackle. His 40 time was 4.85 seconds, and he did have the fastest 10-yard split out of pretty much any of the D-tackles at a 1.64. That was in the 96th percentile. So, and what I thought was really interesting with him and a couple other prospects, one other guy that I thought was comparable to him was that if you pull up his PFF, like, stat line, if you look at his actual week-by-week grades, he doesn't have a single bad game. All of his games are in like the mid 70 range, high 70s. I think at his worst, he has like a low 60 as his absolute worst. But most of them are in those 70s, which is really, really good, steady. Like I said, what I did is I looked at those three main players. It was Hunter Norzad, Makai Wingo, and then Travis Glover was the other guy that was the three that we really didn't know about. And then as I was looking for them, I tried to find and see if there was any kind of similar guys around that area that were not maybe getting talked about. And with the Makai Wingo, there was another guy we've talked about it just because his name is Tyler Davis. This Tyler Davis, not a sift blocker. He is from Clemson, a D tackle, 6'2", 300 pounds. His PFF grades starting from last year, 85.5, 82.9, 70.8. His run defensive grade was a 90.8. And again, if you pull up his PFF schematics, it shows that he, again, did not have a single bad game all of last year. And again, that's at Clemson. So he's going against some pretty, pretty good talent there.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could talk about some other guys if you wanted to. Otherwise, if you guys wanted to say anything about those two dudes or Makai Wingo, I think is a really, he's another Aaron Donald type-ish mold where he's not the biggest guy, but he's very powerful and very explosive.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyler Davis. We've got him in the 137 spot on the consensus big board. He peaked at 37. At one point, he was well within the top 50. And then Makai Wingo, that we were just talking about from LSU, he's at 113, but he peaked at 65. So I think it's no coincidence here that the 33rd team likes guys that were really high on the board early and all of a sudden, for some reason, started to drop. Kind of explains what we've talked about, right, Tim? But what do you think about this too, man?
No, I'm with Jacob here. I think Wingo is interesting. I did a little bit of digging on him. Not as in depth as Jacob, but certainly gets my pick 91 approval for sure. Me being the gatekeeper of the Rasul Douglas pick, of course.
Absolutely. So I got a message from a listener, and I was trying to find. I can't remember if it was Roland or who it was that emailed me. I've been getting a lot of Twitter messages too, so I was on three different platforms trying to run down this message. But whoever it was, thank you for asking us. This is really cool. They said, Clayton, we're curious, how does your board stack up to these picks? And I was like, that's freaking brilliant. Like, I didn't even think about that. Let's kind of see how far off I am, right? Now, keep in mind, my board is only designed to go to 150. I always go past it, but a minimum of, I want a heavy enough group of those guys at the top side that they're going to, it's going to fill out the 150 with a true grade, right? Just keep that in mind. So I went through and plucked all the grades, and if it has a green number next to it, it means they were better or right around. Really, they should be better than where we actually took them as far as overall ranking on my board. If they're in the red, then they were lower than we should have taken. Okay, if that makes sense. So I just went ahead and attached the numbers. So if we go down the line here, Kool-Aid McKinstry, we got him at 25. He's 18th on my board. All right. Tyler Newbin, we got with the 41st pick. He's 28th on my board. Junior Colson, I was nervous about this, guys. I was going, there's going to be so many numbers in the red here, and I'm going to look like an idiot, right? And it makes you question yourself if that's the case, right? Junior Colson, 58. He's 49th on my board. Great pick there. Dominic Puny, I thought for sure would be like, okay, that was when we reached on. Bro, he's 88th is where we took him at. He's 53rd on my board. Surprised the heck out of me. Because, I don't like study these prospects, guys. I've got like a 7-step process where I take other people's opinion that I trust and put it into like a database myself, essentially. Okay, so, yeah, Makai Wingo, that was the one that got me, man. 91, and we took him at 91 on my board. He was 81st. So, I thought for sure outside of the top three picks, Jacob, we'd be in a red by now, right?
Yeah.
So then Trayvon Wallace, what's hilarious is the first one we have in the red played at my favorite school, Kentucky. So you think I'd be showing a little bias, right? No, I've got him at 168, and we took him at 126 because the board hands down at that time was like, that's the best player available, right? And it was a position of need. Next, you got Josh Newton, cornerback out of TCU. We took him at 169. He is ranked 71st on my board. I was combing through, Jacob. I was in the bottom half of my board. Like, where is this dude at? Where's he at? I was just about to put the black dash because he hadn't, you know, I couldn't find him. And sure enough, man, I went to the top and started down. Like, oh, that's why. He's 71st. So that's one to keep an eye on, too, Josh Newton. At 202, this is what really went off the rails. Hunter Norzad out of Penn State. He was not on my board. Keep in mind, he's listed on my board, but I don't have a qualifying grade for him yet because I'm focused on basically the top 200. So that tells me he's probably going to be outside of the top 150 of my final list, right? 219, Travis Glover wasn't on the list. 245, Jalen Carlisle was not on the list. And then at 255, though, we got Kamani Vidal, running back out of Troy. We got him at 255. He ended up being 123 on my board. So if you look at those numbers there, Jacob, like that's pretty exciting, man. And again, people were going, Clayton, we don't trust your board. I completely understand. I've been putting this together since like 2010 and just changing it and trying to make it better. Some years I didn't touch it because I was happy with it. This last year I added in a new little element to let's go back 2 years and see how they performed. And yeah. I don't know. This gets me excited, Jacob, because I think there's a lot of names out there. Because as we were doing this draft, we went, I don't feel good about that. They may end up being good football players, man.
Yeah. If you want, I could quick give you my little mini scouting report on Hunter Norzad since we just brought him up.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
So Hunter Norzad, center out of Penn State. Overall, PFF has him ranked as the 200th prospect, 317, 6'3". NFL Draft Buzz has him listed as a multi-role lineman who could be an immediate starter. They have him as the number 5th overall ranked center. Ran the 40 in 5.15 seconds. He's a 5th round draft projection. 3-star recruit. He has the PFF grade this last year, 74.4. And again, if you look at his PFF gradings week to week, super consistent. Only had one bad game, and that was in the 60s, I believe, or the 40s, or I'm sorry, the 50s. He played significant snaps at right tackle, left guard, and left tackle over the last three years. So he is a multi-versatile offensive lineman there. And then a guy that was a comp for him that I couldn't believe we haven't heard of. Have you guys talked about it all? Matt Lee, the center out of Miami. He's PFF's ranks 296 overall prospect. I don't know if you can pull up PFF or if that jammed things up, but if we do get to it at some point, The guy's 6'4", 295. His PFF grade starting from this year is 79.0, 82.5, 75.2. His pass blocking grade is 89.1. He's a true center. He played all three last year's, like 800 snaps each year. He's a redshirt senior, and he could slip into the sixth or seventh rounds. He was the number one guy in the broad jump for centers. His 40 time was 5.03. And NFL DraftBuzz has him ranked as the 275th overall prospect. So he is one that slipped.
He can block.
He can block. He can block.
Yes, sir, he can. I'm trying to look here. Lee, did he play for Iowa? Yeah,
is that Miami.
Miami, okay. Because there's a Lee way down here, interior Lee for Miami. I'm trying to see if consensus. Trying to see if the
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
33rd team has him on here. I don't see him at all on their board. So that's interesting. That's one to dive into for sure. Good stuff, man. Again, you start making a short list of these specific players, and you can kind of get an idea of, all right, here's a if a name keeps popping up, but it's not in the mainstream, jot them down. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden, you know, they get taken in the third round. You go, who? That's how that happened. Well, Tim, you got it for me, right? Matt Lee, let's see.
Poppy didn't kick in quite yet. Sorry.
No, you're good, dude. You're good. We're all hurting this morning. You kidding me? Matt Lee from Miami, according to the consensus big board, 219, okay? And he peaked at 199. So that's going to be another name to kind of keep an eye on for sure.
Who?
There it is. Hey, better late than never, right? Josh with the super chat. Appreciate you, buddy. He said Fields for a conditional six. Laughing about you. We're going to get to it. As soon as we wrap up this right here, we're going to dive into the trade. And like Jacob said, we could probably just sit on that for 10 minutes and read the chat. So it's going to be interesting. We'll get to it here in a second. So appreciate the super chat, though, Josh. Thank you so much, buddy. So what I'm going to do now is go hunt down these three prospects and come up with a full grade for them. Since they're kind of on the radar now, and that's how you can complete a horizontal board, right? Is just continue to focus on that type of stuff. Don't get caught up in the, well, I think he's better than him, and I think he throws the ball harder. Like, really focus in on who are the names that keep popping up. Let the quote unquote experts do their thing. And when I say experts, I'm talking about former scouts, Daniel Jeremiah, Greg Cosell, who's been watching the game since the 70s, and it just been in NFL films, his hip pocket the entire time. People like that, people from the 33rd team, those are the ones that I'm taking information from. Rather than me trying to pretend like I'm some pro scout, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you get into. I'm just saying I'm not going to get on here and go, well, I watched his tape, and let me tell you, this guy's way better.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
Notice I never mentioned Mel Kiper, right? There's a couple of those guys that are draft experts, and I'm like, I roll my eyes every time. I love it when Michael Lombardi gets on his kick because he's like, Scott Pioli works at NFL Network, right? And you'll see him from time to time. They'll flash him up on the screen. And Michael Lombardi's like, why in the hell they have these other people who have never played a snap? He said, I haven't played a snap. I've been in the GM room, right? You know, I haven't played a snap. These guys that have never played a snap, they've never been in a draft room, they're up there rattling their jaw in the front desk, and Scott Pioli's in the back like, hey, guys, can I get a segment? And that dude has been in the NFL his entire life. Just wild, man. Wild. So He's another one. I wish he would break off and do his own thing, because I'm telling you, his book War Room, if you haven't read it yet, put it on the list. It's called War Room. And it's basically takes you inside behind the scenes at the draft specifically. But man, it's just phenomenal. And the way it ends too is just great. It brings things full circle, puts things into perspective. It's such a good book. So you get a chance. War Room, that's by Michael Hawley, but I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, Scott Pioli worked with him hand in hand on that. There's a couple of different Scott Pioli books I've read here lately. So check him out. He's good. Again, if what's the old saying? I'm sure I'll screw it up. If I've seen further than anyone, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of giants. There's people that have already walked through the minefield. They've already gone through and figured out, okay, here's the closest thing to what current front offices do, you know. Focus on their material rather than the hot button topic stuff. So there you go. All right. Let's see here. Anything else you want to hit on here with this draft that we did that scared us all to death, Tim?
No, I think we covered it.
The only other thing is, here's Travis Glover's profile. Obviously, on the 33rd team, they had him at, we picked him at 219. He wasn't even on my board. Just a quick little scouting report on him. He's 6'6", 338 tackle. They've got him as their 106th best prospect. And again, he wasn't nowhere on the radar at other sites. His strengths are his anchor, his down blocking, his length. All right. His weakness is his late hands, reactive feet, footwork slash kick step, and then lateral agility. All right. And then it does kind of critical factors, you know, and reactive athleticism is a 5 out of 10. His anchor play strength is a 7 out of 10. His body control is a 5 out of 10. People were going, I've never seen stuff like this, right? This is what the 33rd team does. This is what real scouting reports look like, right? You're going to get your positives, your positives, your negatives. They'll use specific words that you'll find, I'm sure, if you guys have the book, Take Your Eye Off the Ball. They got like a glossary in the back. I'm sure you guys have heard football terms 1,000 times and go, I don't even know what that means. Great little glossary in the back. How they show you exactly what each of those terms mean. Some people say that stuff to try to sound smart, and then when you ask them what it means, they go, and they were just trying to sound smart. So that book right there, I'm telling you, if you're wanting to dive into the X's and O's, man, pick up Take Your Eye Off the Ball. It's phenomenal. So people think that Pat Kerwin got me on the payroll. I love that book so much. I'm just changed the way I looked at the game, man. Let's jump into the Justin Fields talk real quick, since it got brought up from Josh. Appreciate the super chat again, Josh. But it's official, right? Ian Rappaport said, official, the Pittsburgh Steelers had tweeted this out. We have acquired quarterback Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears in exchange for a 2025 conditional 6th-round pick.
What a haul.
We're going to give him some
We were talking about this yesterday. It's crazy, isn't it? We were like, what value would you place on him, right? And I remember I said, if I was starting a franchise, I think he would be worth taking a swing with a third, right? Now, the Bears, obviously, a little bit different story there. The Steelers, a little bit different story. They probably looking at, like, we've got Kenny Pickett, right? Oh, nope, now he's gone, right? So now you're bringing in Justin Fields behind Russell Wilson. It seems like they think Justin Fields might just be the quarterback of the future in Pittsburgh, but we got to stop for a second and laugh at these Bears. Like, you guys, it was 6 months ago, maybe sooner, that they were still talking like he's a franchise quarterback. Were they not, Jacob?
Oh, yeah. Dude, up until like 2 days ago, people were talking about how they're still going to get a first or a second for him.
Yeah. Wrong. Yeah. Wow. So, Tim, what do you think about it, man? Nothing better, right, than watching the Bears fall flat on their face again?
Well, you remember what I said yesterday when we talked about this. You remember what my suggestion was for
Isn't
the
a bag of footballs?
Yeah. So can you drop that down and check? I got something I want to share here.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if you guys can see this.
There you go. Yeah.
M. Smitty retweeted Erin Alice. Erin Alice had a great tweet. She said, the Bears field receipts on my timeline are hitting like crack. So M. Smitty retweets and says, please tell me we're going to discuss this on the next stream. They literally traded him essentially for a bag of footballs.
Tim, hit that one. Put it in the bank. Put it on the ticker.
Put it.
That's hilarious, bro.
So, yeah, either they you know, either they think Fields is one hell of a clipboard holder, or they actually are, you know, banking on him possibly taking over the helm after the Russell Wilson experience. So I'll say this, though. I don't want to hate on him too hard. I did make the comment yesterday that he may very well go somewhere else and find some success. I think if there was a system and a team that he could find some success, it's probably Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. So something to kind of keep an eye on. I do think it's absolutely poetic that the cycle continues as he ends up exactly where the last Bears franchise starting quarterback ended up.
That's right.
It is kind of funny. But best of luck to Justin Fields.
So, Tim, answer Peter Stone's comment here. Do you guys think that he can beat Russell Wilson for a starting job in Pittsburgh, even though they say he's the backup?
I think, first of all, Denver's paying for Russell Wilson. So, I mean, the Steelers basically have a free quarterback. Maybe that was the logic, right? You know, we got Fields for a bag of footballs. We've got Denver paying for Russ. Let's let's throw him out there, see who's going to be the starter.
Yeah, so as far as him beating out Russell Wilson, I do think that Russell Wilson has this reputation now that, like, he sucks. And it's really not true.
Yeah.
You know, and who's to say that he'll be worse on a new team? Like, that could be the case, right? Anything, especially when you get well into your 30s, you know, like Russell is. Was he, like, 35 now or something? Am I thinking right, guys?
Wow. Is he that old?
It seems like I was surprised the other day when I seen his age, but we forget, you know, just how long he's been in the league. Nonetheless, I don't see Justin Fields beating 35. Russell Wilson. 35, that's what I was thinking. It surprised me too, Jacob. I was like, what in the world just happened? I think he'll beat Justin Fields out for the starting job, but anything's possible, right? What's crazy is from the Pittsburgh perspective, they don't have a whole lot of money tied up in that quarterback room at all, right? So they can kind of give both of these guys a shot if for some reason, and Russell Wilson looks like he's in great shape. If he can play another 3 to 4 years and he ends up being the guy, great. If they come out 3 or 4 games flat, all right, let's go to Justin Fields. He catches fire. Maybe they got their quarterback of the future. Again, I'm not ready to write Justin Fields off. I feel like he has improved his game. I said that when he was on the Bears. I do think that in Chicago, I think great quarterbacks would struggle to win in Chicago. And it's a culture thing. It comes from the top down, right? We talk about the McCaskey family and how, you know, people in the mainstream media are like, what's holding Green Bay back is they don't have an owner. And then you look over and see how organizations are ran, and you're like, no, we don't need an owner. We're doing just fine. We got a board of directors full of football people that know what the heck's going on. We don't need an owner like Jerry Jones or you know, insert another name. You know, watching the Dynasty on Apple, holy cow. If you guys have Apple, go watch the Dynasty. It is phenomenal. Now, they throw Bill Belichick completely under the bus. It's basically the Kraft family saying, all right, we finally got the problem out of here. Now let's go win some football games. And I'm sitting there going, okay, he won 6 championships. Yeah. You know, this is – if I was a Patriot fan, I would step back and go, okay, yeah, I want to be heroes. Robert Kraft, go ahead, bub. Let's see it. Yeah. Put it together because you get a lot of pressure on you. But it's cool going behind the scenes and kind of seeing, you know, how things unfold. And I don't think that Robert Kraft does a bad job owning the team. He kind of stays out of it just enough. If anything, he maybe didn't get involved enough. But it's cool to see it from an owner's perspective through that documentary. Again, though, boy, it's a bad look. Boston Connor on Pat McAfee's show, you know, big, obviously a big Patriots fan. Dude, he is like, when he watched, he was mad. Like, it's kind of a hit piece on Bill Belichick. So, anyway. Yeah. We'll see what happens in Chicago, though, man. Whoever's there, whoever ends up being the quarterback, I'm looking forward to the Packers going in there and kicking their rear end week in and week out like we always have. So, it is what it is. I think the difference there is the structure in place between the Packers from the top. I mean, the structure is like the leadership structure in Green Bay, and then you look over at Chicago and you're like, you could tell Chicago really doesn't know what the heck they're doing. So, yeah, we'll see. What'd you say, Jacob?
I just couldn't remember. Doug says, how about the first rounder for Claypool? Did they give a first rounder for Claypool, or did they get? Did that really happen? Am I remembering that correctly?
It was either a first or a second that they gave for Claypool. Yeah.
Jeez. This team sucks.
Yeah. You know, that, and some of the moves they make too, like the signing they made the other day, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. You know, it's like, I mean, it's not a horrible signing, but it's like
only Chicago would get rid of their starting quarterback and then worry about receiver immediately. Right.
Exactly. It's just everything's backwards. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was a second. I was thinking about that second because Packers fans.
Things could be a lot worse. I could be a Bears fan.
So true. There were Packer fans upset about that too. Like, why didn't we give up a second for Claypool? Guys, awesome. I'm a Notre Dame fan, and I was going, you better not give up anything for Claypool. Like,
that just furthers the stereotype that Chase Claypool is an elite receiver, which is so far from the truth.
Exactly. Tad insult to injury here for the Chicago Bears, though. I did a Twitter poll yesterday, and another listener asked me, who do you think is the Packers' biggest rival? And I was like, this is great. I'm going to put it up on a Twitter poll. So we threw it up on Twitter, right? And here's exactly how it was. Got this question from a listener and thought it would be better to ask Packers Twitter. Who is the Packers' biggest rival currently? Comment if yours isn't on the list. Now, people screwed it up, of course. They did not go and comment the other. They just went down there and commented why they voted the way they voted. So I was trying to comb through and see if there was any other teams. There was a couple of teams that popped up, like Dallas, I think, got mentioned a time or two. But it definitely came down to these four, hands down. So the options are Chicago Bears, Minnesota Vikings, Detroit Lions, or San Francisco 49ers. The Chicago Bears came in dead last as the Packers' biggest rivalry, 17.2%. All right. Minnesota came in second at 18.6. Detroit came in third at 22.1. And San Francisco 49ers came in at 42.2, ran away with it. The Chicago Bears is what cracked me up because it's not even considered a rivalry right now. Everyone in the – there was Bears fans that commented and were like, hey, until we compete, this ain't no rivalry. Pretty wild, ain't it, Jacob? That's how bad that organization's gotten, man.
Yeah. I know that when I took the poll, I immediately just clicked on the 49ers just because it's – I was like, who do I hate? Who do I hate playing more than anybody? Right. And definitely went to the Niners. And yeah, it's hilarious. Like you said, when the Bears players are like posting like ready for the rivalry and our players are like, come on. God. And when you guys grow up and, you know, you can not eat dinner at the kiddie table, we'll talk about big boys.
I love it, man. Love it. Chad Inc. comes back in and says, yeah, the Bears gave up a bottom of round one pick for Claypool. So somewhere around first or second, right? Nonetheless, way too much because he's not even on the team. I think is he in Miami now? Am I thinking right?
Who knows?
His mom doesn't know. We got to find him. We don't know where he's at right now. SDM40 says, sometimes the best move is the one that you didn't make.
Hey, unless you date Mike.
Some of God's greatest
deal. Hi, I'm Date Mike. Nice to meet me.
That was the worst timing. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers, right? I said some of God's greatest gifts. New. Hi, I'm Date Mike. Yeah, that'll make it as one of the top moments. All right. There was somewhere else I was going with that, too. Oh, just about the Chicago Bears. First of all, I think I honestly would have voted Vikings. I hate the Vikings, man. Just the way they run their organization, the Bears poach off of us, but the Vikings are like they, if their fans weren't so cocky, so confident for an organization that has never won a single thing, it would be a little bit different. Like Detroit, I hate probably the least of all the teams on this list because most of the time their fans have been cool. Now they've got a little success. Tim, you've seen it firsthand. They're getting too big for the britches out there.
The worst of the worst Detroit fans. I have personal experience. So, I mean, that doesn't reflect their whole fan base. But,
right.
Yeah, man. And again, a division title is apparently a big deal there in the Motor City, you know, to get their banner hung.
Hang
the banner.
Didn't Goody make a comment about that, too? We don't hang banners for divisions around here, whatever. Absolutely love it.
So yeah, we take those divisional banners, we hand them to Bears fans to wipe their tears. That's what we use them for.
Exactly. Let us know in the chat who you think the biggest rival is, unless you guys agree with this. I think it's pretty unanimous, though, right now, man. The 49ers, people see them as the biggest rival because that's the team you got to beat, right? That's the team you're kind of chasing. You know, we it seems like every time we face them in the playoffs, we have no answer. Now, is that a Shanahan LaFleur thing? Could be. But I'll tell you this. The way this squad for 2024 is shaping up, I'm already feeling way more confident about, hey, if we go toe-to-toe with the Niners again after another draft, right, you had Xavier McKinney, you added Josh Jacobs. If we get 2022 Josh Jacobs, you're going to see – not only are you going to see Josh Jacobs, you know, catch fire again, but you're going to see Jordan Love on that drop-back play action. When you get eight guys in the box because the running back is that good, not that Jonesy wasn't that good, but the problem was Jonesy wasn't healthy most of the year, right? He was just in and out of the lineup. It's tough calling him Jonesy now after seeing that skull champ, and it sucks, you know? And this is why I hate the Vikings, Jacob.
No, his name now is former Packer great Aaron Jones.
That's right. I like the way that sounded. Smooth. All right. Prince in the chat says 49ers. I would even put Dallas ahead of the Bears. I love how you spelled it right now. So the Bears.
That reminds me. That's like you're right about the 49ers. They're almost like I think back to the you know early 90s being a Packer fan, and you know we could never get past Dallas. That was always the issue. Was the Cowboys were like our nemesis, and we had to beat them in order to, you know, get to the, you know, climb the mountaintop. And it's very similar to what we've been dealing with, like, you know, like the last five seasons, six seasons here with the 49ers. So
this is how we do it. The artist formerly known as the Packer great Aaron.
And for those of you wondering too, the 49ers are on the home schedule this year. So I'm excited about that game. Circle that game. There's a game. If that game gets scheduled in December, that's the game I'm going to, hands down.
I got a feeling that might be the opener. Think of how our season ended last year, right? You know,
it makes all the sense in the world, Tim. It does, man.
Hopefully that means that I'm right and the Packers can start the season at home. I can't remember the last time that happened.
That would be awesome. Yeah, it has been a while. Could you imagine, Jake, Packers 49ers? Right, divisional rematch, right? Divisional round rematch, week one at Lambeau Field under the lights, prime time.
Sunday night football.
Me complaining. Throw up already.
Me complaining because we're up till 2 a.m. trying to get the pod out, right? Yeah. The 12 noon games are just perfect for us, man. I love them, dude.
Chris coming in here pretty harsh.
Uh oh, what'd Chris say? How can the 49ers be our rivalry? We've lost to them so many times in a row. It's a Bears argument, but not in our favor. Can't be a rivalry if we can't beat them. You know, Chris, this is where I want to lash out, but you're speaking straight facts there, bub. It's a good point, is it not, Jacob? Like,
no, it is. I mean, we did beat them in the regular season, but that don't count.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And it was kind of a down year for them, if I remember correctly, with them roaring right back. But Chris, hey man, I can't argue with it, dude. You make a great point. It does kind of everything we're saying to the Bears, the Niner fans could look up and pretty much say, hey, well, what about us? You know, so appreciate you bringing us back down to reality, Chris. That's what we're here for, bub. So anyway, all right, let's see what else do we have on the docket here. Since we were talking about Justin Fields getting traded, let's talk about quarterback, free agency quarterbacks, right? So Adam Schefter tweeted this out. I think it was yesterday. It was 2 days ago, March 15th. So this has changed a little bit since then, obviously. 2024 free agent quarterback carousel. Jimmy Garoppolo ends up with the LA Rams. Kenny Pickett is somehow back to the Philadelphia Eagles. I think he grew up in the Philly area. Sam Howell goes to the Seahawks. Desmond Ridder goes to the Cardinals. So let's see if we can kind of pick these quarterbacks out and where they were last year. Right. So Kenny Pickett leaving the Steelers and going to the Eagles. Obviously, Jimmy G landing with the Rams. Sam Howell was with Washington. He's now in Seattle. Desmond Ridder was the starting quarterback for the Falcons. Jacob, you decide. Jacob, you remember, don't you, bub?
Oh, yeah.
So Desmond Ridder was the quarterback of the Falcons. Now he's the backup at the Cardinals. Joe Flacco was Mr. Comeback Player of the Year, right? For Cleveland, he ends up with the Colts. So obviously that's got to be a backup role behind Richardson, or what's his name, the quarterback there?
Yeah, Richardson, Anthony.
Richardson, yeah. So he's obviously, I don't think he's competing for that starting job where Richardson was the starting quarterback before. I'm surprised Joe Flacco took a backup deal that early.
Well, I think it might be one of those things where Richardson may not be healthy for the beginning of the year, and I think Flacco might see it as he could get a chance. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Gardner Minshew, you guys remember he was with Jacksonville forever, right? Like he was kind of the darling down there. I thought they should have just tried to run with him a starting quarterback a little longer. I don't think he's necessarily a bad quarterback, to be honest with you. He's played in so many systems now. Gardner Minshew went from the Colts to the Raiders. Jacoby Brissett is back with the Patriots. Okay. Sam Darnold obviously leaves the LA Rams. I think that's where he was. Now is with the Vikings. So he's got to be the front runner for their starting quarterback if they don't trade up and draft one, which I heard rumors they were interested in trading up to number three. Did you guys hear anything on that, Jacob?
Tim? Yeah, I thought I saw that the highest they could get at the moment was four, but.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. Drew Lock, obviously, he's been with several teams, Denver, and then who was he with last year? Do you remember, Tim? Drew Lock
was Seattle, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
I think so. Yeah.
So he goes from the Seahawks to the Giants. Kirk Cousins goes from the Vikings to the Falcons. Baker Mayfield, obviously, back with the Buccaneers. Russell Wilson is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Jameis Winston, former first round pick, is now with the Browns. Marcus Mariota, former first-round pick, is now with the Commanders. Tyrod Taylor is now with the Jets. And Mason Rudolph with the Titans. Mitch Trubisky is with the Buffalo Bills, since we were talking about Josh Fields and another wasted first-round pick on a quarterback by Chicago. You got to end it, wrap it up there, Tim, with Mitch Trubisky, man. So there you go. It's wild, though. Jacob, I don't remember another year where quarterbacks were on the move this much. Do you?
Not that many. That seems crazy.
Yeah. I mean, when I seen the list, usually I don't post stuff like this or don't talk about it in the pod. When I seen that list, though, I'm going starter. That's wild, you know?
Obviously, add Fields to that list.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty interesting stuff. Now, you guys remember we put the tweet out about John Kuhn finding glass in his food on the airplane. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Was it United? Yeah, United Airlines, I think. Well, they responded to his tweet. Listen, I'm not agreeing with their response, but I got to give credit where credit's due. These guys don't care about the way they're viewed in the public eye. So basically, United Airlines tweeted back at John Kuhn, who found glass in his meal, and said, "Hey, John, we're sorry for any shattered expectations. When you can, please DM your confirmation number so we can get a clearer view of what happened." And he quote tweeted them and said, "No thanks at United. You showed your hand and it was ass. Only Delta from here on out." But what about them saying shattered expectations, Jacob?
Is that not wild? Poor choice of words there. I think some intern just lost their job.
Or someone got promoted.
Or that.
That's brilliant. Have you guys ever followed Wendy's Twitter account?
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're great. This is first thing I thought of. I'm like, is this a spook? I'm waiting for John Kuhn to go, "Surprise, guys, they're sponsoring our show." You know, this is legit, Tim. This is People Skills 101 right here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gentlemen, which brings me to my next point.
Don't eat airplane food. Does Tim, not matter what airline it is. I do not care if it's not in a hermetically sealed bag. I'm not eating it. I don't care how much you paid for your tickets. I don't care if you're first class. Don't eat airplane food. Stop it, people.
Has anyone ever flown? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nothing. I just want to say Murph's setting the story straight for Chris over there. Just had to throw that in there. Pack's still leading, baby.
Yeah. So Cheesehead Murph, go ahead, pull it back up if you don't care. I get those exact numbers for the listeners. Cheesehead Murph points out that the Packers versus 49ers all-time rivalry, the Packers are 38-34-1. So, there you go. We have the regular season matchup as well, 34-28-1, Cheesehead Murph says. So there you go. Murph, you are the man, dude. Eat this. We could just come in here, crank up live, and just read Cheesehead Murph's comments and have a show. Love it. Milltown Corey. Oh, that United poopy is crazier than all those quarterbacks switching teams. WTF. It's, yeah. I'm glad someone else thinks it's crazy too, because we were like, ooh. And You know he's flying first class, obviously, right? Have you guys ever flown first class?
No.
Yeah,
I never. You have really? You have, Jacob?
Only because my buddy Tony is a businessman, so he has all these miles. So we travel like kings. But I don't know what to do when I'm up there. I'm just like,
what do I do with my hands?
King of the costume. King of the costume.
Look at all this leg room.
I know it's him. I've never flown first class, and there's been a couple times I've kind of stopped and like there's a seat open there, right? And I always get this: get to the back, go back there, go that way, go that way. Yeah, no, I've never flown first class. But you walk by the normal people, you're like, man, this is kind of nice up here. Yeah, I'll be in the back with the peasants. So there you go. Anything else you guys want to add to this show? Timothy, you got anything at all, big dog?
Yeah, shout out Tupac LaFleur.
Tupac LaFleur in the house. I'm trying to think of what's up next on the docket here, boys. We got the draft is right around the corner, right? We're coming up on a month of it. The 15th of April, I believe it is, that the Packers can report, right? And they're going to do some kind of training activity there. So you'll see some of the players back in-house. I imagine we'll see it around April 15th, and then that's roughly 10 days before the draft, if I remember correctly. So free agency, I think Goody might be a little more active here on the backside. We'll see if he goes after, say, like a Rudy Ford, someone like that, that may not have any offers yet. You'll probably see some familiar names get signed. But also, man, you might be able to get a deal or two. I know people are freaking out over the linebacker position, and I get it. You guys see how aggressive we would have been in free agency at linebacker, but I think Goody might have a trick or two up his sleeve with that linebacker position. And then again, when you're rebuilding the defense and you're trying to, okay, let's get the pieces in place, right? Can I just say for a second, too, like all the people that screamed, we got all these first-round picks and Joe Barry doesn't know how to use them. Some of those first-round picks are getting kind of shipped out, right? You've seen Savage is now no longer with the team. Everyone's talking about drafting a corner like Cooper DeJean because you don't know what you got in Eric Stokes at times. Some of these other outside corners. I know DeJean is more of a Swiss Army knife type cornerback, but I just want to put that on the table there. Like, we'll probably miss on a couple of these guys. Let's get that straightened out here in this draft. I'm eager to see how they approach linebacker. Tim, you're the defensive guy, bro. What do you think, man? What do you think they're going to do at linebacker?
Well, we definitely got to draft at least one. And I'm not sure who's still available on the free agent list, but I'm not opposed to that either. Maybe bringing kind of a middle of the road veteran type of player in, you know, without Devondre Campbell. You know, say what you want aside about that whole situation. You know, he provided some veteran stability there on a really young team, and I'm not opposed to that approach. I know we're going young; it's the youth movement, but I think drafting a linebacker and also possibly signing someone is a possibility. But we definitely need depth there. I don't think it's an alarming concern. I feel good about Quay Walker. I feel good about Zay McDuffie. I feel like, you know, we need some depth, and I think that's going to happen. Interested. Did we hear anything about Wilson yet? Is he still?
No, I was actually going to bring that up, Tim, because Tom Silverstein, if I remember correctly, he listed a short list of players, right? And, Keyshawn Nixon was at the top of the priority list, and he mentioned Eric Wilson in there too. I believe it was Spoon that put that out. So I think their plan is to bring Eric Wilson back. Now you got Christian Welch back, if I remember correctly. So you got McDuffie. Basically, you got Quay Walker, McDuffie, Christian Welch. There's a good chance you're bringing Eric Wilson back. That's going to be four. You're going to need at least six, maybe seven for that 4-3 defense, right? And we're talking about inside linebacker types, right? Stack backer types. Now you'll probably see Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. Not probably. They definitely will be either changed. Positions will be changed to defensive end. Who knows? Maybe they kick one inside at defensive tackle because the 4-3 defensive tackle perfect build type is a little bit different than 34, obviously. It's a lot different, actually. You're looking for 300-plus pounders in a 34 interior defensive lineman. In some cases in the 4-3, you know, you got some teams that will flirt with that 260, 270 range at times. At least they have in the past. I'm excited. This is like uncharted waters for me because we've always been a 34 team since I've been, really diving into the numbers and the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, like I said, since 2010, so we've always been a 34 team. I'm eager to really learn a lot about this 4-3 stack, under, over, all that good stuff. So Milltown Corey says, I think Denzel Perryman is still available for the run defense, maybe for a very cheap deal. Those are the type of names, Corey, that I think that Goody is kind of holding out for, right? There we go. SDM40 says Perryman and Chargers are talking allegedly, so stuff. Again, I think he'll be active on the backside of free agency. I think he will. So I'm eager to see that and how that falls into place. Anything else, Jacob, you got, Bubba?
No, man. I'm ready to go for this upcoming week. Are we switching to one a week now?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. Unless
one a day, not one a week, right?
One a day.
Jacob said, I'm excited about not hearing Clayton's voice anymore. It's just a one a week. Now we can, the plan is we're still going to do PTA in the evening. Okay. Every day. Like I said, unless I can talk Jacob and Tim into doing a good morning Lambo, but that's always on the table. You never
probably
know.
Just be go good morning mock drafts is probably what it would be.
Hey, people would probably love that. I'm the one. I think I'm the one who likes the mock drafts the least. Man, the chat is always screaming for them, and I'm always scared to check Twitter and check emails. Like people go, would you stop with the mock drafts? But people seem to love them, man. So I think they're fun. I think the more mock drafts you do, the more you learn about this draft class, right? And that's the whole goal of everything we're doing. So I know we got a herd of people in here right now. Appreciate y'all making us a part of your morning. If you're on Twitter, you can click on my profile. And you'll see the YouTube link to our YouTube channel. Hop over there and hit the subscribe button.
Right down there. Yep, right there.
If you, Tim, if you go to our YouTube channel and subscribe, it's a lot easier for you guys and gals to communicate in the chat on YouTube than it is Twitter. You're still welcome to watch on Twitter, obviously, but I know we got a herd of people that watch on Twitter, and some of them can't comment. Is that true, Jacob? If you're not like a Twitter premium subscriber or something, you can't comment on the live stream. Is that what that is?
I'm fairly certain, and it doesn't transfer over to our database here. So it's just easier if you're on YouTube. Pops right through. We can read your comments. You don't have to be any sort of a premium subscriber or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely. There's somebody that's scrolling through and said, no, I just scrolled across this on Twitter, and y'all suck. All right, keep it moving. Appreciate you swinging by. I guarantee you we got some of those. M. Smitty says, mock draft morning sounds great. I'm telling you, boys. I'm telling you. Y'all want to do it, we'll get it set up for you. But, yeah, to answer your question, next week I will be PTA live in the evening every day. If for some reason something shakes loose and you see a GML link go up, you know, I might be able to free myself up in the morning. But I want to under-promise, over-deliver for sure. So Rob Jones says, I think they should grab Jordan Jefferson out of LSU.
Is that Justin's little brother?
Is it really? I thought he might have messed up. I thought I was going to read Justin Jefferson there for a minute. But, yeah, Jordan Jefferson out of LSU, around the third or fourth round, he's there, 300-pound D lineman. Let me pull up on a consensus big board real quick. Jefferson.
Justin went to LSU. That's got to be his brother.
Has to be, right? I didn't know his brother was playing, though. Let's see. Interior defensive line on the consensus big board. LSU, right, Jacob?
Yep.
Why is he not popping up? That's interesting. There's Wingo, Mason Smith. That's the only LSU. Let me see if he's listed as an edge. He might be listed as an edge. Go down here real quick. LSU.
There's the hard-hitting breaking news. Aaron Rodgers is officially out as the VP for RFK Jr.
Newsflash. He was never officially in.
I love it, man. Yeah, I'm not seeing him at all, man. Not Rodgers. The defensive line.
Did you check nose tackle?
Well, I'm on consensus big board. Defensive line and edge, I both checked. And the only LSU guys I see is Mason Smith at 70, Makai Wingo at 113. Oh, there we go. Yeah, found him. All right, Jordan Jefferson.
Yeah, that is JJ's brother, the other JJ. Dang.
All right, got it. So yeah, he's ranked 202. He peaked at 116. So he's dropped a little bit. He did perform in the Reese's Senior Bowl, it seems like. So yeah, that's interesting, right?
Reese's.
What's that?
Did you just say Reese's?
Yeah, the Reese's. How do you say it? Reese's.
I guess now I don't know.
No, you know, you're making fun of me, Jake. That's what it is.
Reese's. That's what I say.
I see. It's funny, man, hearing how people say. How do you guys say? I don't want to give it away how I say it here. How do you say the animal? It's like a small wild dog that you know can get into people's chicken coops and stuff like that. How do you say
coyote?
You say coyote. All right. How do you say it, Tim?
I'm sorry. I'm not paying attention.
How do you say coyote?
Coyote.
All right, cool.
Is there another way to say it?
I know people like out toward Nebraska, they call them coyotes. And I'm
okay.
What? So, yeah. I've always said Reese's. Evidently, that's not right, according to Jacob, who I got to be honest. Jacob usually says, no, his name's pronounced this way, and he's most of the time right. So, got to give him that. All right. SDM40 poured him up on the 33rd team, said 5.9 grade. I'm assuming for Jordan Jefferson there. So, interesting name. Maybe another one to write down and just kind of see, right? I think what we should do is draft him one round too early and then use him to lure his brother over to play with him, right? If there's one thing we can acknowledge, Justin Jefferson is one heck of a football player, man. Sucks, but it's true. All right, let's get out of here. Just a special shout out to everybody in the chat. You guys made this show awesome. I apologize for the voice. Got out in that cold air a little too long last night, so we'll get that cleaned up for tonight. But, yeah, with that being said, thank you all for hanging out. Tim, appreciate you getting up, Bubba. Jacob, you guys available tonight?
Yep.
Yes.
We'll see. Yes. We'll see if we can get this guy in here, too. I don't know, though, man. You never know what Emilio's into. If I can get the board set up, we may do a giveaway. I want to give people enough time to get it in. We're going to set the giveaway, but we got a new wheel we're going to be spinning thanks to Lord. It's money. You guys are going to love it. So we got a little graphic for the wheel that we're going to throw out there. It's a Emilio's job. By the way, you know, you guys know he said he was going to be here yesterday morning. I'll be there. I'll be there. Guess what his excuse was? He stayed up too late working on that wheel graphic.
Yeah, that's what he
is. Like, bro, how long did it take you?
Love that dude. Sure. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper in a way?
Exactly correct. All right, we're out of here, guys. Appreciate y'all for hanging out with us. I'm going to go down here and drink some more coffee and try to get this throat straightened up so we can have a decent show tonight, because this was absolute garbage, and I apologize. So everybody have a great day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go Pack, go.